Hey everyone, I just wanted to let you know that we apologize for this episode getting out late, but we had some things come up, so we do apologize, but please enjoy. This is from last week, and I will have this week's up shortly, so we will talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and whatever else comes to our dark little hearts and minds. I am Mark Sadowski.
And I am still Matt Hoffman.
Right on. Joe is out this week. He is on assignment. Wink! He knows what we mean. Oh, Matt, did I just lose you?
yeah, sorry about that.
No problem. Awkward. So, man,
I heard what you said. It's just I was on a major delay.
It's probably for the best. Anyway, how have you been doing, man?
I am doing wonderfully fantastic.
We made it. We made it through the new year.
Yes, we did.
Whew. Man, 2016. How about that?
Yeah, that'll be one of those years to never speak of again.
Yes, let us never speak of it. And now let's BS on 2017. We have a whole year, and we got to get started.
I'm ready.
How has your iPhoneography been this week?
Let me consult my phone. You know, it's slow. I'm struggling right now because I always find winter landscape stuff to be kind of difficult to do. And here in Ohio, we're suffering from an extreme lack of snow.
Yeah.
At least in my part of Ohio, we are. And I do have actually like a little smidgen of snow. It snowed yesterday, but like literally just enough to be annoying. But otherwise, my photography has really mostly just been filled with like family stuff that's not really worth like sharing on social media, I guess.
I hear you. This is a tough time of year to do photography, because I mean, we all have day jobs, so it's not like we could run out in the middle of the daytime and take advantage of whatever little light that we have.
Well, that might sort of change for me.
Oh, cool. Because
I did officially start my new job, and I spend most of my day running around to different accounts and everything, and I get to drive through some kind of rural farmlandish type areas and there's also some rivers close by that are pretty cool. So even today I was like kind of like scouting locations as I was driving from place to place, and
yes,
I tried to make note of like a bunch of really cool like dilapidated farm buildings that I saw that just looked really cool, and I'm like, oh man, I gotta stop there. And you know, but like the light wasn't real good today, so I didn't stop today. But yeah, hopefully I'll be able to like incorporate some photography into my day-to-day activities.
That's pretty awesome, because even though you're not photographing, you're at least still making that time productive. And I think that's something that doesn't get said enough, where you could go to different places and not, you shouldn't be pressured into taking a good photo every time, as long as you are kind of making note of your surroundings and making note of the time of day that you're there. Like, you could be in a nice place that's pretty late and kind of crappy on light, but know that in the daytime, this will be a good place to come by and at what time. So that's all good.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, other than that, not really a whole lot to speak of.
I gotta say this, the stuff that you've been posting lately, your photo edits have been pretty spot on. They've been beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, they're they're rather involved. I really need to like start kind of sharing them more and explaining what I'm doing. It's just they're like, oh, there's so many steps and I don't even remember them all by the time I'm done.
I know, if there was only a YouTube channel that you could take advantage of.
Yeah, but it's like, how do I like record? We'll talk about that later. All right, so this actually brings up some other little thing that I'm going to do, I don't know, either later tonight or tomorrow or something. So there's a listener of the podcast, and she's in our Facebook group, Nadine.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not even going to try to pronounce her last name because I know I'll mess it up. But she took this picture that she shared in our Facebook group the other day that, like, I just couldn't stop looking at it. It was really cool. It was some sort of place in Germany. It was this really cool looking building with like these two towers. And it was kind of this like older style architecture. And it was along like a river or something like that. So it was like reflected in this river. But there was like the sky was pretty much blown out. And the building itself was like kind of dark, but I still really liked the picture. It was just something about it that just kept making me look at it. So I actually asked her if she would be okay with me downloading the picture and then just editing the picture like in my style, and then I would just share it with her and just like show her what I did. It was just like, I don't know, the picture was just really cool and I just really wanted to play with it. So she said, yeah, you know, no problem. Go ahead. I can't wait to see what you do. And she made a comment that she kind of wanted to see the steps. So lucky for her, I remembered to save the photo after kind of each little thing I did so that I could go back and I could share these, you know, the step-by-step versions of the photo up to the final product and be like, okay, here's what I did. First, I took it in the Photomatix app, and this is what I did. And then I took it into this app, and I did this. And then it ended up in Enlight, and I did this, and here it is.
Right on.
So I guess that's kind of what, you know, you're looking for me to do on the YouTube channel. But in this case, I'm just sharing this with one person because I don't have permission to share their photo with the masses. But
yeah,
in any case,
but you did send it to me at 11 p.m. at night.
Well, yeah, because it was pretty cool, and plus it was only 11 p.m.
Yeah, I was in bed. I had to get up early.
Oh,
yeah, my big boy days are over. I go to bed early now.
Well, I apologize for that.
Nah, that's okay. It was fine. No, but that was a really cool photo, and I think it's a bridge that you took that you edited. Those were the spires on the bridge.
Oh yeah, you're right, because it has like a train going across it.
Yeah,
a passenger train of some sort. Anyway, very cool.
Still an awesome photo, and yes. I have just been such a fan of your photo editing style. It baffles me, like the what you could do with artificial light, I guess, because it's not real light that you're adding.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I do so much of that, so much manipulation of light, you know, with like starburst effects, and I think one of the most recent pictures that I posted, I think I shared it in our Facebook group the other day, and it's on Instagram. It's just like some old farm building with this little kind of mangy tree that's growing up, and obviously the tree's dead, but there's kind of like a sunburst thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the sunburst is totally fake, and I had to kind of mess with it to kind of make it blend into the picture so that it looked a little bit more realistic.
Right.
And then I was like, well, like there's no actual light like in the scene. Like there's no shadow, you know, of the tree. There's no sunlight like on the ground or anything. So I actually had to like, I went into another app, and I forget which one it was. It might have been Tiffin Photo Effects or something, and found a way to kind of sort of make it look like some of that sunlight was actually falling on the building and the area around the building.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I wasn't able to convincingly do was actually create a shadow, but I'm working on that. And soon, all my pictures will be 100% fake. No, not really. But I don't know, like the movie industry. I don't always have good light to work with. You know, it's like sometimes we're just at a place and that's just when I'm there. And I got to, I either take pictures or don't take pictures. And so, you know, my preference is to take pictures and then just see what I could do with them later to make them look a little bit more interesting.
Now, I'm curious, are you shooting in RAW on the iPhone or are you just using like the high-end JPEGs and TIFFs?
It depends on the app that I'm shooting with.
Yeah.
I don't know. I usually shoot at the highest, whatever the app's like best quality setting is what I usually shoot with. So some of them will only do like TIFFs, which is still perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And then I have other, it might just be like the native app. I don't even know if you could do TIFFs. Yeah, I guess you, I don't shoot RAW with the native app. I just do JPEGs.
I don't think you could do RAW with the native app. I think that's only for other apps, but the Apple will just shoot, you know, whatever it dishes out. I could be wrong.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably right. And then the only other thing I've been doing that's a little bit different than the norm is playing with that Filmborn app quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I've even been shooting with my Sony and then editing the photos in the Filmborn app.
Gotcha.
And I don't know. I like that app. It's pretty cool. It's given me some pretty good results that I like, and it's a very simple app. So,
I used it a couple times when it first launched, and I haven't been back in there. And it's not because I dislike it. It's just I haven't had a reason to go back into it just yet. The thing that I've been doing lately, since I haven't been able to go out and take any photos, is I've been going back into my back catalog and re-editing some of my old photos. And one of the things I've been doing with some of my old photos is painting them. I just have this hair at my butt right now to just go into my old computer, bust out my old software, Corel Painter 11. I don't know what they're up to right now, but this one is pretty old. I think it's about 5 or 8 years old by now. And I've been using my photos as kind of like the color source. So I would clone an image and make the image invisible. And I would just do paint strokes, like, you know, the mimicking, it's an oil painting or a watercolor. And the color from the photo would translate to the page. So imagine having a paintbrush that will change colors depending on where it is on the page. And
That's awesome.
Yeah, so the picture is there, but the paint strokes are still real. And it's just trying to get the paint strokes to be as, you know, perfect as possible so that you have the right texture, I guess. And I've so far, I think I posted 3 of them on Facebook, but only one of them on my Instagram account. And I did one photo of a park in that's around the Boston area. I forget what it's called, but it has that like dome structure that I had in the background, and the rest is like a nice park with a nice reflective water. And then the other two photos that I made, the other two paintings that I did were one of my son and one of my daughter. And I've just had this hair at my butt for painting. I really want to get into real painting, so I thought I'd do the fake stuff first.
Well, I'll tell you what I like about these is that, to me anyway, it's kind of obvious that it's different than like, what was that app that's all the craze just this year?
Oh, there was a bunch. There was
There was one in particular.
Yeah, I remember that one. I can't remember that either. But before that, there was Auto Painter, and before that, there was Prisma. Thank you, Dave, in the chat room. Prisma had a whole bunch of filters that you could play with.
Yeah, but yours have like a very, very different look to them.
Well, that's because you could control with Prisma, you don't get to control how the paint gets displayed. And none of the apps on the iOS market allow you to do your own paint strokes. And that makes a huge difference because, like, Prisma will make something that it just, you know, it looks okay, but it still looks like a filter. Whereas this is actual paint strokes.
Yeah. So are you said you're doing this on a Wacom tablet?
Yeah, I have the Wacom, however it's pronounced, the Intuos tablet.
Okay.
And I've just been using that with the old software. And yeah, you get to control the intensity of the brush. You get to control, you know, the it's pressure sensitive. It's all that necessary mumbo jumbo technology to make it get the most realistic texture as possible.
That's very cool. Yeah, I'm very interested in like working with being able to work with like a stylus or whatever. And I actually just ordered one. I got one called the Pencil by 53.
Yes.
So it's with certain apps, it works pretty much just the same way as the fancy Apple Pencil does with the iPad Pro. You know, it has different size strokes or whatever depending on how you hold the tip to the to the screen,
and yeah,
it's pressure sensitive, so you can go lighter or darker, all that fun stuff. So it works as like a stylus, like with the phone in general, but there's certain apps that support all those extra features. But I think it'll be really handy for, certain photo edits that I do where I really need more precise control than using my finger.
Yep.
And, I have like other styluses, but they just have like that fat, squishy tip, and that's really no better than using my finger, in my opinion.
I agree. And yeah, ever since I started using the Apple Pencil with the iPad Pro, I can't go back to the other stuff. It just doesn't work. But I'm not entirely too thrilled about the Apple Pencil either. And part of that is just because I don't have that feedback from the pencil itself because it's such a smooth surface, and you don't have that feeling of writing, and that kind of takes me out of things. It's just something that I need to get used to. It is what it is. But yeah, with the painting, this is just something to satiate me to when I eventually start painting. And I don't know if you've heard of this. I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent here. But have you seen that movie, Tim's Vermeer?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
I love that movie. And when I'm at work, I play it on repeat, just listening to it. And this is something that I absolutely want to do myself. And what the guy does is mind-boggling, because I just being introduced to oil paints, I got introduced by my aunt, who's actually an artist, And she was showing me all the different things that need to be done, how this paint reacts with this paint. And I'm like, that wasn't in the movie. So it's like, I don't know how this guy did it.
Yeah, it's that was incredible.
Yeah.
Really incredible. I watched it with my wife, and my wife really enjoyed it because she really doesn't do enough with art, but she's a very talented artist. And even watching that and being inspired by it, I was like, man, I still don't think I have the talent to do that.
I'm going to at least try. You know, it's something I want to do before I die. But I'd rather do it sooner rather than later. Knock on wood.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, here's why I use the iPhone photos rather than the photos from my other cameras. And that is because the iPhone has such a small sensor, it doesn't have a very big shallow depth of field. So everything in your photo is in focus for the most part. And this makes it perfect because, you know, whatever you're painting has that, you know, everything is in focus and it just works so much better with the paint. Whereas a shallow depth of field kind of takes you out of it. It doesn't, I don't think it translates very well into a painting. And that's just my two cents. So the iPhone photos that I've been using have been really, really good for this project. And I'm going to probably post one more. I took a photo of one of the diesel engines, or not diesel engines, whatever engine at the North Conway train station.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that painting and have it sometime this weekend. It still takes a lot of time to do the brush strokes, so we'll see.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You just gave me an idea for something to go shoot this weekend.
There you go. Glad to help. Inspiration. Let's go into the actual show. I think we've spent a lot of time talking about what we've been into. Let's go into some news.
News team, assemble!
So Instagram has had some, I don't know if it's exciting news, but it's had some updates. And Matt, you have the information on what they've allowed with the iPhone 7 Plus?
Yeah, so it sounds like on the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 7 Plus, Instagram is now going to have a wider color gamut support. So basically, the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus can display, basically, it's a wider range of colors than the previous iPhones could display. And Instagram is now going to take advantage of that. So your photos will actually look a little bit nicer on Instagram than they previously did.
That's about time.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that kind of stinks about, like, what we have for social media and kind of our photo sharing platforms that are the most popular is that they're actually like the worst for viewing photos. Like I have Facebook set to to upload my photos in the highest quality that it does or whatever, but you know they're still pretty compressed, and it's the same deal with Instagram.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, you really can notice it if you try zooming, you know, if you do the little pinch to zoom on Instagram, like the second you zoom in, it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This isn't helping me at all to see the details because it just looks awful.
You know, Dave in the chat room says eventually Instagram will have a tablet app. I am surprised that they don't have this yet. It's just a stretched out version of the iPhone version, and I am really surprised.
Yeah, that was really a bummer to me when I briefly had my iPad. It was actually one of the reasons that I even wanted an iPad was for, you know, viewing photos on Instagram and Flickr. And, you know, with Instagram not having a native app for the iPad, and, you know, I basically had to use like third-party apps, which they looked okay, but they're still kind of clunky. You really can't do the same things with them that you can do, you know, with the, you know, with Instagram itself. And then Flickr was kind of the same way for a while. They eventually, you know, had a dedicated app for the iPad, and everything looked real good. But, you know, that their functionality was very disappointing as well. So, you know, ultimately, I just ended up deciding I'd rather just get a giant iPhone. And,
yeah,
and just not mess with a tablet.
Well, it's funny you mentioned third-party apps, because Instagram had one more update up their sleeve that I don't think they made public, but you will notice it if you have one of those Instagram trackers. And what happened was, if you have a tracker, you can do stuff like measure how many followers you've gained and how many followers you've lost. And previously you were able to dig deeper into that and see who were the people that started following you and who were the people that unfollowed you. And now you can't do that. They have denied access for these third-party apps to dig in deeper to see who was doing what. And
that is interesting. I'm going to see if that has taken effect yet right now.
It actually has, because that's how I found out about it. When I'm bored, I like playing the game of who will unfollow me. Because when you get somebody who follows you on Instagram, when you get that message saying, hey, so-and-so is now following you, you know for a fact that that person is going to unfollow you in just a matter of a few hours or a few days. It's just those, you know, like hunters, I guess. And so I always enjoy seeing who will unfollow me. And on my other account, my Sadowski Photography account that I have for my wedding photography business, for about a month, I got this tremendous amount of likes and follows from just this various amount of like just Instagram accounts all about wedding photography. And it's and I'm guessing that they were all the same people, because they all had the same themes. It's like, hey, like and follow us and we'll feature your photos, blah, blah, blah. And it's just account after account of these things being created and just following me. And I was fascinated because I wanted to see how long they would last. And within like 3 days, this mass exodus of people started unfollowing me, where it's like those same people that, you know, those same robots, I guess, that were, you know, that followed me started to unfollow me. Meanwhile, this whole new group of robots are starting to follow. It was just bizarre. And now I don't get to actually dig deep into that and see what's happening.
Well, yeah, I have an app that, you know, kind of shows all that stuff, but it's actually really hard for me to tell. It's still showing me like who unfollowed me and stuff like that, but it's hard to tell like how recent that happened. And it also seems to just constantly be showing me the same information no matter how much I refresh and clear the data. So
yeah, so they probably have like the old stuff up there just
yeah, that could be. So there actually is one other update that we didn't touch on with Instagram, and that is,
wait, before you go into that, Dave in the chat room says the followers with the bikini profiles aren't real. No, those guys, I mean girls, are real. Wink.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you should definitely interact with them. It'll help build your following.
Remember when I got mad at that one robot that pissed me off? The whole there was this whole month that everybody was teasing me, hey, you should be a photographer, because of that one. I'm pretty sure it was a robot now. Years later, I still have doubts, where this one girl liked a photo of mine and said, wow, you're really good, you should be a photographer. Meanwhile, it was one of my professional photos from a wedding. I'm like, I am a photographer. And it just got me fuming. And then I'm like, wait a minute, is this person even real? And you guys wouldn't let me forget it for about a month.
Yeah, that was good times.
That was good times.
All right, now can we move on?
Yes, we can move
on. To the other thing?
I had to reminisce.
Okay. This is the one that's going to excite everybody to no end. Instagram is now going to have support for live photos.
Oh my God. I just baked a cookie. That is crazy news. My life is complete.
Finally, there is a way for us to share our live photos. It is about time.
My life is complete. Like, what else is there? Now it's just coasting until my grave.
You know, every now and then I actually do shoot them. But they're mostly pictures of my son, and I mostly just share them with family, you know, in a shared album or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'll find a way to do these. Probably not, though, because I have, like, some other apps that do similar type stuff, like, to live photos. They're, like, you know, these little, like, short moving pictures. And I, like, never use these apps. Like, yeah. I always think I'm going to, so I download them. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I'll figure out, like, some way to use that. And I just don't. So who knows? There's a Polaroid app called Polaroid Swing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think if you find, like, the right scenario for it, it's actually a really cool app. But I, like, never think to use it when I'm out. So it's been on my phone for, like, many months now, and I've never used it. It's really terrible. But so all this stuff is going to be just kind of, like, pushed into Instagram. It's not going to be, like, an update in the App Store, you know, like, where you go in the App Store and hit updates and download an update. It's just gonna suddenly be there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's cool stuff, I guess. I don't have an iPhone 7 or 7 Plus, so I don't totally care about the color gamut support, but I suppose I will care next year when I get a new phone.
There you go. Which one are you getting again?
Whichever new phone next year is the really cool one.
Oh, next year. You're going to wait till... Yeah.
Or, you know, later this year.
Yeah.
Whatever. Dang, yeah, it is 2017.
I just had a total brain fart there, too.
Yeah.
Wow, let us never speak of this moment again, too.
Okay.
Right on. So that's the Instagram news, and I think that's pretty much it. Everything else is... You know, just normal rumors of what's going to happen. And I don't think we're that close to, you know, needing to talk about rumors. Let's move it along to the focus point. If I could find that soundboard. There we go.
Focus point.
Last week, I had sent you fuming into a rage about my choice words of accessory lenses and all that jazz, to the point where you tore up your entire living room, just made up.
The contractors are still here patching the holes. Yeah, my wife was very upset.
So yeah, I mean, I was probably a little harsh on accessories and all that jazz, but I thought we would take the time to talk about some landscape photography techniques. And since you are a very good landscape photographer as well as an adventure photographer, and I pretend to be one by doing some silly videos, I thought this would be a great time to talk about things that we use to make this happen. So let's start with the better one, and let's start with you.
Okay. Oh my goodness. This is a complicated subject. So,
well, let's start with this. What do you bring with you to do landscape photography with your iPhone in particular? I know you have some sweet Sony gear, but like when it's iPhone only, what do you enjoy using?
All right, if I'm going out, and I'm going out specifically to do photography, and I'm going to shoot with my iPhone, then I go, a little bit more like full tilt into the gear, and I'll carry more stuff with me. So I usually will bring my accessory lenses, and up until very recently, that's been my stylus lenses. So I, use the case for those, and I have the wide angle and the telephoto lens. And then I also bring a small tripod. So I have like a little travel tripod. It's aluminum. It folds up, reasonably small. And I bring that with me so that I could do stuff with slow shutter cam. If I'm going to go somewhere that has, a waterfall or something like that, where I want to get that kind of silky look or whatever, then, having the tripod is essential. But I don't always carry like a tripod. Like if I'm going, let's just say hiking with my family, I always try to cram in some photography, but I don't have time to, like, I can't expect them to just stand around on the trail and wait for me to whip out a tripod and, fuss around with different apps and stuff to get the picture I want to get. So it's not like a ton of gear, but it does, violate, how a lot of people kind of view iPhone photography, which is just, a lot of people just want it to be simple. It's, I have the iPhone and that's what I have.
Yeah.
I like gadgets and gizmos and stuff, and I realize the iPhone is this nice, cool device that is, a pretty good camera, and it just fits in, the front pocket of my jeans. That's great, but to me, the accessory lenses are not really a big deal to carry, and it's not like I carry them around all the time, like 24/7. I just carry them when I know I'm going to use them, and then, the same thing with the tripod, So I guess that was like one of the things, I would have to go back and listen to the last episode. I don't remember exactly what you were saying that made me so upset, but, I think it some of it had to do with, like the lens quality and stuff like that. I don't know. I just remember I was like, what is he talking about?
One of the things I've always had a problem with the third party lenses is that to some degree or another they have some kind of vignetting where the corners of the photos will be out of focus.
Yes. And, yes, without a doubt.
Yeah, and that's going to vary from lens to lens and situation to situation, depending on how close or how far whatever you're photographing is. And so this is where I was hard on the third-party lenses, because this is something that I've hated. And partially because, one, the third-party lenses themselves say, hey, total clarity, blah, blah, blah. And then small print, like few pages down, it's like, center focus, there's some vignette. they always say one thing and then kind of, you know, take a step back and say something else that I've seen. Or at least that's my interpretation. Maybe I'm just being a jerk. But I mean, that is a fact. Like, there, it's just, you know, it's something that you have to live with. But I also, I guess, didn't say this better enough, because I thought I mentioned it. Maybe I just kind of said it sarcastically, or maybe I didn't say it at all. I honestly don't remember. That's not to say that I never take good photos with a third-party lens. I have made some great photos of landscapes with the third party. In fact, everything that you see in the Chasing Landscapes video that I made was shot on the stylus lenses. And I was either using the wide angle or I was using the telephoto. So I was able to make it work, whether it's by slightly cropping the image and, you know, getting rid of the blurred background, or just working around it. For example, the panoramic that I did was with the 50 millimeter lens, and just by panning slowly with the device, the iPhone was able to keep the parts that weren't in focus and replace the stuff that was blurry. And it did a really good job. And it also helps that the part that was going to be blurry was part of the sky, where it didn't really matter if it was blurry or not. So that helps too. So
that's definitely one of the things I've noticed. Geez, I hate to pick on stylus, but you know, I've only tried so many of these lenses, and Stylus and Moment are the brands I have the most experience with.
Yeah.
The Stylus lenses, they are nice, but holy moly, their wide angle lens just suffers incredibly from distortion at the edges. And, you know, it's blurriness to the point where it almost looks like motion blur.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of distracting, and I really think it's
Which lens are you talking about?
The Stylus wide
angle. The wide angle. Okay, all right. I had a brain fart there for a second. My bad.
Yeah, it's really kind of a shame, because I've taken, you know, like you said, I've taken lots of pictures that I like with that lens, but they're not anything like that I would print, you know, or anything like that. And I think it stinks, because it's like, man, if this was totally sharp, I would definitely print this.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really a bummer. On the other hand, I think their telephoto lens is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
I really like it a lot. And, you know, recently, Moment cases were on sale. So I got one, because I never got rid of my Moment wide angle lens. And sure, that lens isn't perfect, but I think it's a lot more pleasing than the Stylus wide angle.
Yeah.
And that the experience is a whole lot different as well, shooting with Moment on a Moment case versus the Stylus lenses in the Stylus case. The Moment case actually has a battery, like a little, you know, watch battery inside the thicker part of the case, like that kind of acts as like a grip.
Mm-hmm.
And it connects to your phone through Bluetooth, and it has a shutter button on the case that kind of acts like, you know, almost like a regular camera. You could half press the shutter button and the camera will focus, and then, you know, press the whole way down to take the picture. And it, they just advertise it as working only with the Moment app,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is kind of a bummer, but the Moment app is actually pretty decent. And but I did notice that it did work with some other camera apps on my phone. Like, for instance, it worked with Pro Camera, where I was able to do the half press. And I did it without even thinking about it. Like, I wasn't even trying to test it out. I just forgot that I was using Pro Camera instead of the Moment app, and it worked. It, you know, I did the half press and a little focusing icon came up and indicated like where the focus was, and I was like, holy cow, this is really cool.
Yeah, I think they have APIs with other apps that will allow you to use it.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's a different experience, and now I'm trying to decide, like, you know, should I invest more in Moment and get like another lens, like maybe their macro lens or the telephoto lens or something, or should I not do that because in 10 months or so I'm going to have a new phone probably.
See, that's the other thing that, again, this part is no fault to the manufacturers themselves, because Apple will change, because Apple will change. You'll have the lenses change, like in the iPhone 7 Plus. You'll have the sizes change, which means that the cases won't work. There's just so many factors involved that they just, you know, they just don't know what the, you know, where the wind is going to take them. But in the end, that means that I have to buy new stuff. And I'm kind of, again, this is me personally, but I'm kind of done with that now. I've spent so much money on accessories that it's just like, I'm just kind of done. For example, the Zeiss they came out with their own lenses, not just came out with their lenses because they've been out for a while now. But they're the only lens that claim edge to edge perfection. And I just don't feel like spending $100 on a lens just to try it out to see if it will work. See if this company will be the one that does it. And it's like, you know, if you guys want to send us one, great. But, you know, not to take away from them, but I just don't feel like doing that anymore. And it's to the point where, you know, I am super, super happy that the iPhone 7 Plus has a 50 millimeter lens, because now I can just get rid of the old stuff that I was using. I don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. I don't have to worry about switching a case because this time I want to use the stylus lens. Oh, but in this shot, I want to use the Moment lens because this lens is better than the other one. I'm done. I am just so done. And like, that's just me. Again, that is only me. That is my own preference. I'm not taking away from the quality of these guys, even though I said that their quality suffers a little bit around the edges. but they're still great lenses. They're still great alternatives to, you know, to creative work. Like, for video, those lenses are phenomenal because the iPhone will crop by itself anyway, and all that blurriness will essentially be gone. So you're still good. You know, if you know where the blur is going to be in these lenses, you could still work around, you know, you could still just know where the weak points are and work accordingly, shoot around that. You know, I mean, there's just so much you could do. But now I don't have to worry about that because I have edge-to-edge sharpness because it's the native lens to the iPhone.
I know, but it's still nice to be able to go wider.
Yeah, so there's the rub. I never have to go wide, so I don't have to worry about that. That you are really, really good at wide-angle photography and taking advantage of that. And so I can understand why this would be important for you. For me, not so much. And Dave in the chat room mentions something important. If only the 50 millimeter was better in low light. Yeah, that is. Yeah, it sucks at low light. It's just not there yet. But at least it's there. I won't be doing any nighttime photography with it. All my landscape stuff all happens in the daytime. So there's that. And yeah, so, you know, that's my trade-off. I don't get to do it in low light.
Right on. Well, yeah, in a nutshell, I mean, I guess, you know, all the things I mentioned earlier are what I bring. So, you know, nothing too crazy, I guess, as far as gear. It's I don't use any of those, like, crazy contraptions like you and Joseph, like the beast grip and stuff like that. I
actually don't use the beast grip anymore. And that is thanks to you, my friend. You have, what was it, like just days after Christmas, you flashed that Mi Photo smartphone partner, whatever. What is that thing called officially? We'll have it in the show notes.
Yeah, I forget, but oh, it's so cool.
This thing is something that I have been waiting for a very long time because the beauty about this very simple metal device is that it allows you to clip your phone into a tripod without having to screw anything in. It basically functions as an L bracket, and then has your iPhone on a swivel mount so that you can change it from a vertical to a horizontal and vice versa. And it, of course, you need a special tripod to be able to just, you know, slide it right in without have, you know, I always lose those little screw-in attachments to a tripod, and being able to pop right in is just beautiful. So,
yeah, no, it definitely is. It's basically, it's called the Sidekick 360.
Yes, I just saw Joe in the chat room pop it up.
Gotcha. And I guess I got the Sidekick 360 Plus because it opens up a little wider to fit the, you know, the larger size phones. But yeah, that's exactly what I like about it, is that I don't have to worry about having another plate for my ball head,
you know,
to put an adapter on. So that's cool. It just goes right in and yeah, it's a nice little accessory here. And someone had posted a link to it in our Facebook group when we were kind of looking for holiday gift ideas, and I was like, "Oh man, I need that." Yeah. So I told my wife, and she must have told Santa Claus, and it came.
Yeah, well, Santa Claus got me coal, but I did find it in Best Buy, so I picked it up there. Santa Claus gave me coal and debt.
Oh, wow. Your Santa Claus really... I think that was Krampus that visited you.
Thanks, Krampus. Oh, I'm so miserable. But I have a Mi Photo Plus, and that's all that matters.
Yes, that's all you need.
Right on.
Too bad the color you got is like the worst color.
I wanted a green one to match my tripod, but, you know, hey, I found one in a store, so that's all that counts.
Nice. Yeah, had I been thinking more clearly, I would have gotten maybe a different color. The metal part on mine is blue. And I like it, but I probably would have looked cooler had I gotten like red or something.
Yeah. Actually, anyway. I was planning on getting pink because I'm going to get a pink tripod.
Are you subscribing to the theory of Sharky James?
No. This is something that I've been planning on for a while. Sharky James just kind of bogarted it.
Ah.
Like, God damn it. Why?
So for anyone who doesn't know, Sharky James is the host of the Petapixel podcast, and he talks a lot about his Mi Photo purple tripod. And he thinks that if you have a colorful tripod that basically like security guards and stuff like that really don't take notice to you, or at least don't take you as a serious photographer, so they're not going to tell you that you can't have your tripod. like in a public area or something like that, and they won't hassle you as much. To me, sounds like a bunch of nonsense, but I guess a lot of people say, yeah, that's the case.
I'm glad that he invented this concept. I'm glad he and only him invented this. Thanks, Sharky. Not well, bitter at all.
Yeah, it sounds that way. Anyway,
it's not that he. It's just that he says it all the time. His jokes are very repetitive. I'm sorry. Yeah. I love the guy. I listen to the podcast, but when he starts telling a joke, it's like, all right, I'm going to fast forward 5 minutes because that's about how long he explains the joke after he's told it.
Well, I'm probably never going to test the theory. I have a blue tripod, and I think studies have shown that people with blue tripods are kicked out of public places 100% of the time.
Well, because you're sad.
Actually, if I'm using my blue tripod, I'm usually pretty happy about it. In any case.
So that's your bag.
That's my bag.
Right on. And I've already mentioned what's in mine last week, so, you know, we can skip that part. But it feels good. The only thing I'll mention is that it feels good to lighten the load a bit. It works for me, and, you know, that's all that matters. If whatever works for everybody else, you know, it's all good. And in fact, you know, when this show gets posted, you know, shoot us a line. Let us know what you're using in the show notes comments, or go to our Facebook group and just, you know, let us know there. And, you know, we're always looking for new stuff. In fact, like the Mi Photo Sidekick, you know, that was a great find from one of our listeners. And so, yeah, whatever you have to share, go ahead. We are all open for that.
Definitely.
Right on. So shall we go into post pick of the week?
Let's do it.
Post pick of the week.
So every week we have a little bit of a challenge where we set up a contest, put it into Facebook, and everybody gets to upload their photos to that particular challenge, and we pick a winner, and it becomes our website. What is it? Show note, cover art, and it also becomes the cover art to our Facebook group, iPhone Photography Place thing.
Yeah,
Joe says it so much more eloquently. I should have practiced. But anyway. This challenge has been going on for quite some time. We have the Tilt Shift Challenge, and Matt, do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. So yeah, we had quite a few entries. This is also like another challenge that is harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
you really have to kind of get the right. I guess like the right subject and the right angle. Yeah. So actually our esteemed colleague, Joseph Ferreira, he posted a couple. He's not the winner, by the way, but in any case, he took a few shots from his fancy bucket truck that he has at work. And I think, those shots work. Like, he has a picture of a car and a pickup truck going down the street, and they literally look like toys. And that's kind of, I think, sort of what we were going for in this challenge, that kind of miniature effect that you can achieve with the tilt shift. And so one of the ones that I thought did this the best was from Mark Staben. And it's one that he has titled Depot Bay, Oregon. And it's basically a picture of a dock with some boats and stuff, and then there's kind of like a parking area with some little buildings behind it. But basically, it's mostly just the boats and the cars that are right behind the boats that are in focus. And the water and part of the dock below the boats is blurred, and the buildings and all the background behind the boats is blurred, and it really honestly makes these boats look like toys. And you know, it's a kind of a different subject. We don't see a lot of like boats and stuff, and I also am intrigued on how he got the elevated position to shoot this from.
Yeah,
because you know, I'm just wondering, where is he? I mean, he's probably on land. I'm sure there's something that's kind of, you know, cropped out of this picture that we can't see, where he's maybe in some sort of building or on a hill or something. But it honestly looks like he's, you know, out in the bay, somehow shooting this from an elevated position. So it's kind of cool. I think the image really works.
Which one is it by, Mark? Is it the one where it has the square format or the rectangle format, the horizontal?
It's the square ones.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing about this too, and this is something that I kind of forgot to mention when we launched this challenge, is that the other thing that really makes the miniature effect work is kind of stronger contrast and really bumped up saturation.
Yes.
That really adds to that kind of toy type look. Like, for instance, take Mark's picture that's right above the Depot Bay one. It's of Edinburgh Castle.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with the tilt shift effect, but you're not really getting that miniature effect in that picture. And I think if literally all he did was make it more contrasty and really bump up the saturation so that like the green grass that's in there was really a lot more punchy, that would actually do a lot to make that castle look more miniaturized and more like a toy.
Well, let me actually add to that, because this is something that is very subtle, but our brains can see this. Because the effect that we're doing is a blur everywhere except for this one strand of linearness. If that depth of field is off by just a little bit, for example, that castle that you're using as an example, the background is still pretty much in focus when deep in your mind, it knows that it's supposed to be out of focus because it's a good distance away. That will throw off the whole effect.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
And that's why I think the boat example works really well, because he has that one row where the focus and blur, it just works really, really well. And it's just this beautiful balance. And the one below that with the boats, with the horizontal one, doesn't work because of the you know, just that slight blur on the buildings behind it. Like, the first floor is in focus, but the top floor is out of focus. It just kind of throws it all off.
Yeah, it's definitely a tricky effect to achieve, but like, when you do it, you know it, because
it just feels right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm being nitpicky, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I didn't write the rules. That's just how it goes.
That's our brains. But anyway, he's still the winner, and he did a very good job. So congratulations. You are the winner of Plus One Internets.
Ooh, I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I kind of miss it.
All right, that is quite the prize. I didn't even know we were giving out prizes today.
You know, it's a new year. I had to. You know what? Everybody in our chat room gets an internet too. So plus one for everybody. There, I just.
That's generous.
Thank you. I just threw it in there in the chat room. So don't spend it all in one place.
Oh, it's going to be hard not to do.
I know. Right on. So I think we could call it a show. We miss Joe. We hope you're back soon, and we can't wait to hear stories. Oh my God, the places that he's been to. Just from the photos that he's posted, it must have been quite the adventure. I think they solved at least two groovy mysteries, and yeah,
I'm extremely excited to hear about it. especially the groovy mysteries.
Right on.
Super sweet.
Anyway, so Matt, tell the world where they can find you on this illustrious interwebs.
All right. As always, you can find me on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Sweet. And you can find me, Mark Sadowski, on Instagram. I am Mark Sadowski. And you can always find my shenanigans on YouTube on our Tiny Shutter channel. So youtube.com/tinyshutter, you will find all the cool stuff that we did. And I am going to post more, and hopefully in the coming days. Knock on wood.
Super sweet. I will also add that you can hit me up in the Tiny Shutter Facebook group. I suppose that's a pretty good place to find me. And also in the Artful iPhone community in the Mighty Bell platform, where I am known just as Matt Hoffman.
There you go. And if you want to reach out to us, go to tinyshutter.com, where you will find links to our Facebook group, our YouTube channel, and our live show, which we stream usually every Thursday nights at 9:30 Eastern time. We're doing it on Friday night today because of schedule conflicts. And check us out and be part of the show, or just go to our Facebook let me try that again. Take two. Go to our Facebook group and jump on in. Contribute your photos. Just have a chat. Everybody in there is super awesome. We have the best community, I think. And I am super happy that they are part of our world, and that, you know, 2017 is just going to be just so much better because they are just super talented and super friendly. And I can't stress that enough, super friendly. I went into the Petapixel chat comments on their articles again, and it's just so much full of piss and vinegar. And it's like, I am so, so happy that our group is not like that.
Yes.
Look at how they're raising their kids.
No, we are very fortunate to have a respectful group of people in our Facebook group and you know in our chat and everything like that. There's really not a whole lot of negativity at all.
Right on.
We're living in a idyllic fantasy world.
Yep.
And I'm in no hurry to leave it.
Ditto. Right on. So anyway, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Thank you, Bill Murray. I hit the wrong button again. You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. See you later, guys.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the...
Oh, sorry. Dave in the chat room just mentioned that we forgot to add a challenge for next week.
Oh, we have to do that, don't we? Holy cow.
Boo! That's on us.
No, it's on Joe.
Joe, you... I get a word for that.
Dumb bastards.
There you go.
It's on him for not being here.
We will blame it on him because he's not here to defend himself.
That's right. That's how it works. Yeah. Again, I don't write the rules.
I do. I forgot I could do that. So let me write that down. Joe's fault. There we go.
All right. And now we could go back into the minutes if we need to and find that.
So we have in the chat room, Joe, not Joe Ferreira, but Joe says, the new challenge is forgot. Dave in the chat room says blank spaces. I see a theme happening.
Oh my God. It sounds like a self-portrait challenge.
Yeah. For me, blank spaces, that self-portrait, I will have to use a wide angle.
My idea is rule of thirds.
Okay. I could deal with that. Oh, Craig in the chat room says, if you could pick 7.5-month-old babies as a photo challenge, it would really help me out.
I can't believe his kid is only 7.5 months old. I thought being in Australia, he'd be a lot older than that by now.
Yeah. You know, I guess time works differently for them.
Huh. Because, I don't know. I'm sure it's... His birthday's coming up soon, and Craig's as well. Happy birthday, Craig.
Right on. You know, that rule of thirds will work great with a baby, so that'll fit. Bill in the chat room says, Elf on the Shelf for Mark. You know what? I'm glad that little son of a bitch is gone. That stupid Elf on the Shelf.
Do you guys do that?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that sounds horrible.
It just, like,
how do you have time, like, to set up the little scenes and...
Well, I don't do scenes. I don't go crazy and, you know, it's not like he has his own set. I just stick him from one place to the other. That was it. And, yeah, it was always me doing it because my wife would fall asleep. And it's like, ah, son of a gun. All right, where do I stick this thing? In the freezer? I'd like to put it in the freezer.
In the fireplace?
If I only had a fireplace. Oven, that would be good. A dog cage.
Oh, the garbage disposal.
I don't have a garbage disposal. That would have been good too, though.
My goodness. They don't have anything in Massachusetts.
I had it hanging precariously off a hook one time. Not like impaled or anything. He was just going, you know, hanging there, cliffhanger style.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. Kids didn't pay much attention to it. I'm like, oh, all right.
Joseph says he wanted to grill it.
Joe, that would have been awesome. I could see him sticking in a hot dog bun.
All right. So what are we doing?
Oh, when the kids were bad, it was no deterrent. They were like, you know, I told him, like, yeah, well, he's gonna, you know, I'll just gonna punt him out. He's like, Santa won't get you anything. I don't want anything from Santa Claus. I've been on his bad list for a long time.
Well, hence the coal that you said you got.
Yeah, it's on me.
Craig Ellis wants us to pick Australian animals.
Yeah, but, you know, For us northerners, we'll just take pictures of dangerous appliances. It's the same thing. This will kill me. Therefore, it is equivalent.
There you go. Yeah, Craig will have a picture of like a wombat, and we'll have a picture of like a chainsaw.
He'll just take a picture of his backyard. There's got to be at least a dozen things out there that'll kill him. You know. Because that's Australia for you. Joe in the chat room says, delicious Australian animals on a grill.
Yep.
For those of you who don't get the joke, Joe has a great Instagram feed. If you want beautiful, beautiful barbecue, then he is the one to go to because his... photos are not only delicious looking, but they are very well photographed, and everything is on a grill, and everything is awesome. And like I watch that feed religiously. It is very, very cool. Joe, what is the name of your Instagram feed? I don't remember it.
It's literally the same as his username here.
Probably so. So it's J H O E T Z L. That is how you spell it. Yep, that is how you spell it. So everyone, go check that out. It is delicious, and your stomach will thank you or curse you, depending on.
Yeah, you'll be hungry.
Right on.
Even if you ate, you'll be like, ah, I gotta eat.
You're going all robotic, Matt.
Good. That's what I wanted to happen.
There you go. All right. Anyway, that's it for the show. See you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Dumb bastards.
This place is dead anyway, man.
Damn straight.
But first, let me take a selfie.
Dumb bastards.
All right, that's it.